All right, welcome back, everyone, to Three Ideas in 30 Minutes. I want to thank very much our sponsors for this evening, our dear friends, Dr. Michael and Marilyn Fedak, in gratitude for the many weekly learning opportunities at BRS. We continue to be very grateful to the Fedaks. I learned something new about Michael last night, which is that he shares a love of great wines, and that was a very special evening for those who were there at our Agudah night, and we hope to put out the recording shortly, but I want to thank the Fedaks very, very much. The winner this week, I know, it's almost like unfair at this point, but Jason Asher.
Again?
Running, I mean, come on. Onion rings, chulent, hot dog, and salami.
Sauerkraut,
I mean,
sauerkraut.
It's just not fair at this point.
Like bringing his own
content. He's a ringer. I think he's a ringer. I think he's bringing stuff from home. Okay. 3 minutes and 30 minutes. Here we go. Parshas Tzav, Erev Shabbos, Pesach. Of course, the first word, second pasuk in the parsha, Tzavas ben Israel. I'm sorry, Tzavas Aharon v'esbanav lemor, Zos Toras Ha'ola. So it introduces us to the Korban Ola, to the Esha that the fire is on the Mizbeach all night. And he uses the language of Tzav. Rashi very famously tells us, Ein Tzav, Ela Lashon Ziras. That the reason why he uses the language of Tzav is to encourage, to create a sense of zealousness. As always, our learning is always for an aliyah of the neshama of Esther Tilabas Gabriel Pinchas and Yitzchak David ben Rav Avram. Our learning should be an aliyah for his neshama as well. Rav Schwab here has a very beautiful piece. And what does it mean? Why does this dafka need lashon zeros? Why korbanos does it need an extra level of alacrity and zealousness? So Rav Schwab points out that if you look throughout the Nevi'im Rishonim, and if you look throughout the first Beis HaMikdash, there was one complaint over and over again that the prophets have against the Jewish people. And that is that the Jewish people are misplacing what the essence of Korbanos are for what the Tafel is. In other words, the secondary components. And essentially, the argument against the Jewish people was that you were bringing Korbans, you were going through the motions of bringing sacrifice, but what does Hashem really want? Hashem wants the kavana behind it. Hashem wants your heart. Hashem doesn't just want you going through the motions and doing Judaism in a robotic, monotonous way, like a robot, but rather Hashem wants you to have feeling and to have kavana. And so if you look countless times throughout the Nevi'im Rishonim, the early Nevi'im, you'll see over and over and over again, Navi Yeshayahu, they come and they say to the Jewish people, it's very beautiful that you're bringing a korban, but you're just doing it robotic. Hashem wants you to mean it. Hashem wants you to feel it. Hashem wants you to understand what the kavana behind the korban is. And he says, if you link, that was the mistake that Kayin made. Kayin, why did Hashem reject Kayin's korban? If you look at the Mefarshim over there, Kayin brought a beautiful korban. Why is it that Hashem rejected it? So the answer is Hashem rejected it because Kayin misplaced what the purpose of korbanos were. Yeah, Kayin brought the most geschmack-looking korban ever. It was like Jason's hot dog of korbanos. I mean, that's how amazing it was. But Hashem comes along and says, you're missing the point. It's not about how good it looks, but it's about whether you have the meaning and the feeling behind it. He says, that takes us through Brayat Rishon. All the Nevi'im Rishonim, that was their complaint against the Jewish people. You're bringing korbanos, but you're missing the point. It's not about the physical motions, but rather it's about making sure you have the proper kavana, that you feel it, that you understand what it is that you're doing. Then he says, however, you come to Bayit Sheni. And Bayit Sheni, the pendulum swings entirely in the other direction. All of a sudden in Bayit Sheni, the Jewish people say, all that matters is that we feel it. All that matters is that we have a heart and that we have here hurei tshuva, that we think about doing tshuva when we bring korban. But does Hashem really care about the minutia? Does Hashem really care about the details of halacha? Whether the korban is this year's old or that year old? Whether the korban looks this way or that way? To give it our contemporary example, does Hashem really care whether I put my left shoe on and then my right shoe and then my right shoe and then my left shoe? Does Hashem really care how I take the jelly beans out of a jelly bean pile? Who cares about the minutia? All Hashem cares is that I think about Shabbos and that I care about Shabbos. And that, so the pendulum swung the entire different way. Whereas in Bayis Rishon, they were going through the motions, they cared about halacha, but they were missing the heart and the soul. They were going through it like robots, but they didn't have the meaning behind it. By Cheney, all of a sudden, the pendulum swings entirely in the other direction. And all of a sudden, he says, you have a situation where people think that all that matters is that I'm a good person. All that matters is that on Shabbos, I think about lofty thoughts about Hashem. But Hashem doesn't really care about Borer. Hashem doesn't really care how I put my shoes on in the morning. Hashem doesn't really care about the details and the minutia of halacha. And so the pendulum went from one end all the way back to the other. Says Rav Schwab, now you understand why Korbanos in particular needed a sense of zrizus, needed a sense of alacrity, of zealousness. He says, because we have to combat that mentality of Bayit Sheni, where people think it's enough to be a good Jew, it's enough to love Hashem, but Hashem doesn't really care how I practice. He says, Ophia Niskar Lel, on page number 2, top right hand side, Yuvan Hazirus Miad Uladoros. Now we understand the need for zealousness, because the mistaken idea is that people would say to themselves, as long as I'm a good person, and as long as I love Hashem, Hashem doesn't really care about the details. We have to come forward and we have to reinforce, he says, the notion that even when it comes to Judaism and halacha, yes, you have to have the heart, but you also have to understand the details. And now he says, Uvidoroseinu, now you come to our generation. Anutzrichim gam kem yosir zirus, we need even more reinforcement than any other generation. Leval nafu lepach echad me'elo hatayos. Because it shouldn't be one or the other, it has to be both. We can't approach Judaism and say, the only thing that matters is the minutia and the details of halacha. We can't come to Judaism and say, the only thing that matters is that if I go through the motions and I do things in a robotic, mechanical way, it's enough. Check. Check kashrus, check. Shabbos, check. Tzedakah, check. As long as I can check all the boxes at the end of the day, I can go to sleep feeling good. That's a mistaken philosophy of Judaism. It's not enough. You have to understand what you're doing. You have to be mindful of what you're doing. You have to use it as a catalyst to connect to Hashem. On the other hand, he says, you also can't go to the opposite extreme and to say the only thing that matters is that I'm a good person. That I'm a good person. And as long as I'm a good person, it doesn't really matter how meticulous I am on Shabbos. It doesn't really matter how meticulous I am in the performance of halacha. Hashem doesn't really care if I do it this way or that way. Oh, that's just a halacha, obscure halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So he says we need reinforcement on both sides. On the one hand, we have to understand that we need a complete fidelity to halacha, understanding, again, the analogy we brought in the past, is imagine halacha as a space shuttle. You would never say on a space shuttle, if that screw is missing, it's not such a big deal. There have been massive explosions and accidents because a screw was misplaced or in the wrong place. Judaism is a similar structure. Judaism, everything works in concert with each other. Everything is interconnected. And so something as small as a bolt or as one halacha, we might think is insignificant.
Like you said last week, your Shabbos drasha, you said the IKEA part, the one
page. Right, the IKEA part, exactly. We're talking about IKEA and how useful I am in building things, right? So again, the analogy, we have to understand that every part of halacha is important. In fact, when we visited Rav Gamliel Rabinovich when we were in Israel, do you remember he looked at us? He said, half jokingly, he says, you guys think you're frum? You guys think you're so religious? He goes, how many of you, every time you eat bread, here, you have bread right now, you're all eating hot dogs. How many of you dipped it in salt? How many of you used salt before you ate the bread? None of you. I'll answer the question, the answer, right? Why not? Did you know that using salt is not, we think it's halacha on Shabbos. It's not halacha on Shabbos. It's halacha in eating bread, that our table is a mizbeach. In the same way there was salt in the mizbeach, so there's salt we should use every time. It's halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Rav Gamliel says, you think you're frum? Do you keep that halacha? He was obviously being partially facetious, but he was explaining to us that every single halacha matters. That we can't say, oh, that's not an important halacha, that is an important halacha. So we can't fall into that misplaced philosophy. On the other hand, we have to understand that even when we're fulfilling the minutia, and even when we're fulfilling the details of halacha, we also have to understand that it has to lead somewhere. It can't just be robotic. It can't just be mindlessly going through the motions of Judaism, but you also have to understand you also understand how it's going to bring you closer to Hashem. Therefore, says Rav Schwab in his main base of Shoeva, now you understand why when it comes to korbanos, it says, Lashon Zirus Miyad Uladoros, that it needs reinforcement now and for generations. Because in every generation, there's going to be a philosophy that's going to take you away from authentic Judaism. In Bais Rishon, it was weighed heavily to the minutia of halacha, to the exclusion of the kavana, of the mindset of connecting to Hashem. In the second Beis HaMikdash, the pendulum swung. And once again, we needed reinforcement to remind ourselves about the importance of minutia halacha. In our generation, he says, you need both. You have people pulling you in every direction. We know this. You have some people who are saying, who cares about the details? What matters, you're a good person. You have other people that say, all you have to do is the detail. See, you have to find a balance. You have to find a balance, and therefore he says, that's why it's Lashon Zirus Miyad Uladoros. Every generation we have to reinforce that the balance of halacha is understanding that you need both the heart and the details. Details without the heart, incomplete. Heart without the details, also incomplete. We have to have both of them. And I think, again, you could apply that to any area of your life where you'll understand. Think about a marriage, right? So in a marriage, if all you do is help around, if all you do is, you know, I wash the dishes and I did the laundry, but I yell and scream and shoot you like, right? So no one would say that's a healthy marriage. On the other hand, if you go around, you tell your wife all day, I love you so much, I love you so much. Honey, can you take out the garbage? No. Can you clean it? No. But I love you so much. You know what your wife would say? Stop loving me and take out the garbage. So you need both of them. Our relationship with Hashem is no different. You need both the heart and the details. That is idea number one from Rav Shimon Schwab. Idea number two comes from Haksav VeHaKabbalah, Rav Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg. Now, we've had him many times in the past, and you'll be familiar already now that Rav Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg will take certain words and he'll show you how thematically that same word appears throughout the Torah, and he'll highlight the significance of that word versus other words. And that's exactly what he is going to do here. So here we come to the pasuk of the Eish. So the fire is burning all night. Of course, what's the first avoda that they do in the Beis HaMikdash every single morning? They take out, so to speak, the trash from the night before. The ashes that were on the Mizbeach, they come, they do Trumas Hadeshen. And then what do they do with those ashes? So the pasuk says, Vitsamo Eitzel Mizbeach, that there's a very specific place where they put it next to the Mizbeach. Now, in and of itself, this, I guess, a bonus idea. So we're going to do 3.5 ideas this week, right? Think about the significance of that. The first thing they do every morning is rid themselves of the trash the day before. If that's not a kavana to help you every single morning, I don't know what is. When you come into shul every morning, all of us have baggage from the day before. Maybe we made a mistake the day before. Maybe we got in a fight with a spouse or a child the day before. Maybe we looked at something we weren't supposed to the day before. Maybe we got angry the day before. We all come in with a lot of baggage. You know what the first thing the Torah says you're supposed to do in the morning? Unburden yourself of it. Get rid of it. Take out the trash. Allow yourself to press the fresh start button and recognize Modani, Hashem gave me a new day, and I'm going to take advantage of it. I'm not going to be weighed down by the burden of all of my mistakes yesterday. Trumas Hadeshen isn't just something I did in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a lesson for life. That was a bonus idea. But here we have the word, Vissamo Eitzel Mizbeach, and they placed it by the Mizbeach. Ask Rav Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg in his Aksav VeHaKabbalah. In Judaism, we have two words for a placed. One word is Visamu, or Sima, Visamti. The other word is Natan, or Nitina, to place. What's the difference between those two words? Now, I never thought of it, but he thought of it, and that's why he has many Svarim, and I do not. What's the difference about Samu and Nesina? And he develops and he points out 20 different places in Tanakh that the word Natan, Nesina, is random, right? You're randomly placing something down, okay? Samo does not mean you place it randomly, but there is a precision in where I put it. There is a carefully place, there's a carefulness,
intention, thank you,
in the way that I place something. Okay, what's an example? So I'll give you a famous example. We say, Kol ha-machala asher samti b'mitzrayim lo asim alecha. Hashem promises us that all the stuff that he did to Mitzrayim, he's not going to do to us. And there the word is samti. Hashem places. Why is that word used? Because Hashem wants to communicate that it wasn't random what Hashem did to Mitzrayim. Each of the machos were intentional. Each of the machos were precise. Each of the machos were carefully placed on that person. It wasn't just random, but it was purposeful. Okay? He goes through the Mishkan. He says that there were certain vessels in the Mishkan that it didn't really matter where you put it, how you put it. And if you look at those words in the Torah, it uses the word vayitain esprichav. It wasn't completely intentional. It wasn't a precision where you place it. It could have been done in any number of ways. On the other hand, when it comes to the badim, vayasem es abadim al aron, the poles had to be put in a very specific way through the rings. You couldn't just stick the poles anywhere. There was a precision to where you were going to put them. When it comes to the brichav, the walls or the panels of the Mishkan. So were the panels of the Mishkan able to be random? No. How do we know that? It's a halacha. We know that from what malacha in Shabbos? Which one of them? Writing. How do we know? Because every malacha has to come back to the Mishkan. They used to mark, they used to put letters on the walls in the Mishkan, and from there we learn that you can't write. Okay, very nice. But what that shows you is that they didn't just put the walls up randomly, but there was an order, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, there was an order to how you do it. I remember that I once helped a Rebbe of mine build his sukkah. We're sitting there, and again, you know from my IKEA story, I am not handy. I pay someone to change a light bulb in my house. Okay, I have many other great qualities. That's not one of them, although my wife wishes it was one, but she's still waiting to see what they are. But anyways, I think I have many wonderful qualities, right? So we're sitting with my Rebbe, and there's like a whole numbering system.
I'm taping it.
There's a numbering system, and then there's a lettering system in English and Hebrew, and there are like five different ways. So I said, how are we supposed to figure it out? He said, well, here's the problem. Every year, I think I'm being so smart, so I number them before I take it down. But then the next year, I can't figure it out. So I like cross that out, and I override it. But now there are like nine numbers on every panel. He says, so we're just going to start from scratch every year, right? So that wasn't the way it was done in the Mishkan. There was an order. And therefore, it uses the word of vayasem, that it was placed because it had to be done with precision. It had to be done in a very specific way. What does that have to do with our parsha here? If you look back at our parsha, it says that they collect the ashes, v'samo etzal mizbeach. It means that they didn't just throw it on the mizbeach. It means they didn't just throw it into any garbage. There were five garbage cans. They put in any garbage can they wanted. No. There was a specific place where you put it. Now you ask the question, why does the Torah care? Again, this is the dredge. This is the schmutz. This is the garbage left over from yesterday. Why does the Torah care where I put the garbage from yesterday? Why did that have to be done carefully and with such precision? Says the Ksaveh Kabbalah that the answer is that the Torah is teaching us that even small, minute ideas, tasks that we think are meaningless, when they're part of Avodas Hashem, when they're part of our service of Hashem, carry great significance and importance. Don't think sometimes that something as small as cleaning up the garbage from the night before off the Mizbeach and preparing it for the next day, don't think that's insignificant. Because anything done in the service of Hashem is, by definition, significant. So we'll use some examples now. Let me give you some contemporary examples. We'll go back to the example of marriage. All joking aside, right? If you take out the garbage, if you wash the dishes, any of us can think of a myriad of examples. But if you do something intentionally, and you do something because you love your spouse and you want to make life easier for them and you want to help out around the house, is that random? Is that just a, no, there's intentionality to that. There's something very holy about that action now. You have transformed something as simple as taking out the garbage into now a conduit that's going to create shalom bayis. It's going to create more of a connection and love in the relationship. How? Taking out the garbage? Who cares? No, the answer is because when you do something for another person, and when you do it with intention, even something like taking out the garbage can now be something holy. And if you look in the write-up sheets, I don't know if anyone finds these meaningful, but the write-up sheets with the questions, I connected it this week to the cleaning of Pesach, because I think Pesach is very much the same way. There are two ways to clean for Pesach. One way of cleaning for Pesach is to view it as a boring, tedious chore that's annoying, and you're going to kvetch about it, and you're going to lament about it, and you're going to complain about it. And by the way, if you do that, how many of you think your children are going to grow up and want to love Pesach? If all they hear is how annoying it is and how bothersome it is, how many kids are going to grow up and say, you know what, that sounds amazing. I can't wait to do that in my house. And of course, nobody. So on the one hand, we have to do it with a sense of simcha and excitement, even if it's hard, even if it's hard. But what does it also show you? It shows you that even something as tedious and laborious as cleaning for Pesach and koshering for Pesach and transitioning out dishes for Pesach, something that we can view as so insignificant, when it's part of preparing for a mitzvah, now it can create a sense of holiness. If cleaning off the ashes in the Mishkan, but with done with intentionality and precision, could be a conduit for holiness, then so too, even something as minute as us cleaning for Pesach, or taking out the garbage, or washing the dishes, when it's done in this context of a relationship, when it's done in the context of preparing for a mitzvah, then even small routines in life can all of a sudden become something that's very meaningful, in something very significant, in something that is a bridge between two people and creates a sense of love and connection in the home. We should never underestimate those small opportunities. That's what Rav Yaakov Zvi Mecklenburg says, "V'samo oitzim mizbeach." This wasn't just thrown in the corner, that it was done precisely, and it was done carefully to show us that even taking out the garbage can be part of the avodah. Even that can create a connection between us and Hashem. And again, I think we could apply that in any number of areas in our lives where things that are routine, some things that we hate doing, but if you do it with the right mindset, it can now be something that can be meaningful and can be something that engenders holiness. So again, we saw idea number one was from the Rav Schwab, that you need both the heart and the details. Idea number two actually combines in a certain way, but a reminder to us that even the smallest avoda matters. Even when you think it's trivial and insignificant, it can matter and it can create love in a relationship. Idea number three, I love this idea, Moshe Feinstein. So Moshe Feinstein here has a beautiful idea on the Minchas Chavitin. Minchas Chavitin. So what do we know about the Minchas Chavitin? Anyone doing the daf? Come on, Simcha. Simcha, by the way, who do you do the daf with? I didn't know. Shirley Bornstein?
Almost.
No. Almost.
They live in the same neighborhood.
Eli Stefanski, okay? So I'm sure when Rabbi Eli Stefanski did the Korban Mincha, did he talk about the Minchas Chavitin? He did. What's a Minchas Chavitin? So Minchas Chavitin is brought twice in two contexts. One, it's brought in the morning and the afternoon by who? By the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol brings the Minchas Chavitin. He brings a whole Isaron, I believe it is. Yeah. They split it up. He brings half in the morning, half in the afternoon. Remember, we had like five blot in a row about what happens if the Kohen dies in the middle. Kohen Gadol, you have to bring a new Kohen midday. Do you bring a new one and you split it up? And what happens the other half? We had a whole lots of blot. When else is the Minchas Chavitin brought? So the Minchas Chavitin is also brought by a regular Kohen on his first day, on his inaugural day. So it's brought two times. One by a regular Kohen, the first day of his service in the Beis HaMikdash, and two is by a Kohen Gadol every day, morning and afternoon. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, what is the connection between the two of them? Why is it that the Kohen Gadol specifically brings a korban every day, the same korban every day that a regular Kohen brings on his first day in the Beis HaMikdash? Like, what's the significance of that connection? Again, regular Kohen brings it just once, his first day. Kohen Gadol brings that same korban, but he has to bring it every day. What's the connection? Like, just have the Kohen Gadol bring a different korban. Have him bring, right? What's the connection between specifically those two areas? He says the following. If you look at my underline, page number 4. Hu mishum sha'af she'nasan lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu gedula. Hu kematana chadasha b'chol yom. That the Kohen Gadol has to recognize that every single day that he gets to wake up and serve as the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash is a gift from Hashem. Which is a nice way of saying, easy come, easy go. The Kohen Gadol walks in the Beis HaMikdash every morning with the recognition that if he's not worthy of it, he's simply going to be replaced by someone else. And so therefore, he should never take it for granted. You should never take it for granted. He says, therefore, v'nimsa shebechol yom hu kenetina kechadash. Every day when the Kohen Gadol walks in the Beis HaMikdash, you know what he's supposed to feel like? He's supposed to feel like a regular Kohen on his first day in the Beis HaMikdash. Even if the Kohen Gadol has been the Kohen Gadol for 20 years, every year he has to walk in and say, what a privilege. What a privilege is it that I get to come into this Beis HaMikdash every day and serve the Jewish people. And in order to signal to him that he has to feel that sense of newness every single day, and the privilege every single day, even in something that can oftentimes become routine, he brings the same korban as a korban, as a Kohen who brings it his first day. To connect the guy who brings it the first day with the Kohen Gadol has to behave just like the guy the first day. Beautiful idea. Beautiful idea. The Kohen Gadol every day has to view it as if it's a privilege and it's like his first day in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Now, I give a lot of examples. But look what Moshe Feinstein does with this. Moshe Feinstein, in the last three lines, says, "Umizeh yesh lilmod al kol davar bracha, uminui gedula." Any blessing you have, or any minui gedula me'Hashem yisbarach. In other words, if you are zocha to any form of leadership, or to any form of involvement in the community, shetzarich lizbonin shiyirah shiyisku lazeh b'chol shah, you have to realize what a privilege it is every minute. I can give you so many examples of this. Chevra, if you are here right now in the shir, I got news for you, I tell this all the time. You are the top, let's call it 5%. You're the top 5% of Jews in the world. 90% of the Jews aren't making it in at all. If you're here in this shir on a Thursday night, and you're not here for the hot dog, but you're here for the Torah, you're probably in the top 3% of Jews in the world, right? You have to walk into the shir and not be like, oh, Moscow's gonna kill me if I don't come, or my wife kicked me out of the house, or this is the only place I can eat a hot dog without being criticized, right? Whatever it is that brings you to the shir. You gotta walk in though and realize what a privilege it is that we have. We have a gift. We have a gift that we can sit here and learn Torah with freedom. By the way, there are people in the world who can't do that. There were times in history when we weren't able to do that openly and proudly, right? What is chus? What a privilege that we have to be able to be involved in Torah, to be able to be involved in community, to be able, there are so many privileges around us. I'll tell you when I feel this. I learned an idea about this maybe a year or two ago, and it had a very big impact on me. Because what I started doing every Shabbos morning, I used to come to shul, and like, especially if I was giving, when a younger rabbi, and I would be a little bit more nervous about drushas. So, you know, like the walk to shul would kind of be like me going over my head, maybe davening to Hashem that this should go well, that, you know, whatever it is. Then it occurred to me, it said, this is like the greatest privilege in the world, that how many people get to get up on a Shabbos morning, and if they have an idea or a piece of Torah or something on their mind, that they get to share it with 2,000 people on a Shabbos morning. That is a great tzchus that I have, and I don't take it for granted for a second. And that actually became my thought process as I would, literally, as I'm coming down the lake, as I'm about to go into the gate, I literally think to myself now, Hashem, this is the greatest tzchus in the world. It really is. How many things have to go right in my life to be able to bring me to this place where I get to share Torah in front of thousands of people? What a great tzchus, and I don't take that privilege for granted. It's easy come, easy go, right? There are so many ways that Hashem could take it away from me tomorrow. Right? How many Rabbanim, tragically, whether they lose their ability to communicate Torah, whether they lose their ability to remember Torah, right? The fact that I can get up and I can speak and I can remember my drasha, and that is the greatest privilege in the world that Hashem has given me. All of us have that in our own lives. We have privileges in our homes. We have privileges in our community, gifts and talents and resources that Hashem has given us that we're privileged to share and to contribute and to give to other people. Some people, it's being a Bal Korei. They can lane. They're known as the laner. That's a great tzchus that Hashem gave you the memory and the ability to do that. It's amazing. For some people, it's a Bal Tzedakah. Hashem blessed you with resources to be able to contribute and to lessen the pain of other people. That's a great privilege, right? Some people, it's davening for the Ummah. They have given a beautiful voice. And it's not always so easy to put yourself in that position where you want to daven. But if Hashem gave you that tzchus, what a privilege it is. Hashem gave you a beautiful voice that you get to get up there and inspire people. For some people, it's learning in a chavrusa. Every single one of us has those moments in our lives where we can view it as saying, ugh, this is so annoying. This is so hard. this is taking me away, this is whatever, or when you can look in and say, this is such a privilege. I'm so grateful that Hashem gave me this ability. I can't wait. I can't wait to share it with other people. And that's exactly Moshe Feinstein's idea on the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol, his 10th year as a Kohen Gadol, could have walked in and say, oh God, I got to do it again. Do you know how like disgusting it was to be the Kohen? I mean, think about it, like when we talk about like the, you know, the Korban on Shavuos, where they had like the lamb and the, I mean, that was disgusting to be holding that. And they're holding like the innards of the animal.
Today,
right?
Today's Daf Yom.
Yeah, today's, yeah, exactly. Again, maybe I'm just queasy, but you know, you can imagine after a few years, the Kohen Gadol's like, oh my God, I got to go do this again. But no, it says he brought a korb minchas chavitim because every day he was supposed to come in and remind himself, this is like my first day. I'm like a kid in a candy store. This is so exciting. We have to view that in our own lives, right? When baseball started yesterday, there's something so beautiful and pure about baseball. And that is grown men acting like kids. Grown men acting like kids, but I mean that seriously. What? Yeah, they're having a blast, by the way. No, but there's something about beautiful about opening day. Why? Because it reminds you of there's something so pure about opening day. Guys who are making gazillions of dollars, guys who are in their 20s and 30s, and you know what, though? They're acting like their first day on the mound in Little League for one day of the year. That's beautiful. There's something like empowering about that. That's how we should feel every day. That's where Moshe Feinstein. Okay, so we saw three ideas in 30 minutes. Or Schwab. You need both the heart and the details. You can't have one without the other. That's why Bor Korbanos, it's Tzav, Lashon Ziras. We have to constantly reinforce we need both. Idea number two came from Rav Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, Samo Eitz Hamizbeach, Beach, that it was done with precision. Because even the smallest actions, if they're done with kavana and with meaning, then it could become full of kedusha. We have to think about that in our own homes, whether it's taking out the garbage, whether it's cleaning for Pesach. Mundane routine activities can now be forms of service of Hashem. And the last idea is Rav Moshe Feinstein by the Kohen Gadol, the Minchas Chavitin. Never let a privilege become routine. Never let a privilege become routine. The Kohen Gadol remind himself that every morning. We should remind ourselves that every morning as well. Whatever gift Hashem gave you, financial gift, ability, whatever it is that you have, recognize the privilege that you have every single day that Hashem gave you, to be able to use that to help other people around you. And with that, I wish everyone a good Shabbos.